SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan. Mike Prater and Scott Jackson. Thanks to Mike Jones from the Washington Post. Talking Redskins with us from the Indianapolis Combine. I remind you, you can follow the show on Twitter at SB Nation Radio, and of course, like us on Facebook, please. Well, right now, we're talking about the Wizards. They were wheeling and dealing before the trading deadline. Actually, the day before they made the deal, set Kirk Heinrich and also Hilton Armstrong to the Atlanta Hawks for Mike Bibby, Maurice Jones, and Jordan Crawford, as well as a first rounder coming back to the Wizards. Mike Prada, put on your Bullets Forever cap now, as that is your website, of course, for folks that don't know. What is your feeling, and what was the feedback you were getting after the Wizards pulled this one off?
You know, I had a bit of a weird reaction to it, I think. Now, the Wizards' plan all this time has been, if we're going to, you know, we're going to trade, we want to get a prospect and a pick.
Yep,
and
got that,
they got a prospect and a pick, and if you look at it, they basically turned 5 months of Kirk Heinrich into three draft picks, because they got the 17th pick
sure.
last year, three draft picks. And, I mean, that's kind of a creative and nice use of someone who they probably weren't going to have around long-term. They only had him for 5 months.
Right.
That's kind of nice. It's creative. It's
yeah,
good.
Sure.
You know, that's what rebuilding teams do. Oklahoma City, as a comparison, turned, I guess, 5 months of Kirk Thomas into three picks.
Sure.
Because they also, when they took him from Phoenix, and that was, they used one pick on Serge Ibaka. They traded another for Thabo Sefolosha. That's good. The problem I have is that I'm worried that losing Kirk Heinrich, who is a professional, he's not a leader, he's not going to galvanize a bunch of people that are underachievers,
right.
but he's a good pro, he was playing pretty well, and the payoff was a late first-round pick, which I think they could have probably bought anyway for $3 million, given the way teams are dealing those away, and Jordan Crawford, who I think is a pretty marginal prospect. So I don't know if that's worth losing a professional on the same week that John Wall calls out his teammates for not being professionals.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at the same time, I mean, you've been writing about this all year, everybody else, that locker room's, you know, not very good. I mean, it's not a good locker room right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't been all year. I don't know what, you know, Kirk Heinrich, if he's the glue guy in a bad locker room, I don't really think that's something to put on your resume. Maurice Evans, however, has been a guy who's gotten a lot of credit throughout his career for being a pretty good locker room guy as well. We'll see if he can change the culture in there. Because let's face it, I mean, the peers, the problem appears to be in the locker room, the immaturity and stuff, and the lack of focus and consistency among the big men.
Yeah, I mean, that's
and that's where Maurice Evans steps in now and maybe kicks some guys in the tail a little
bit. He's a
small
forward, though.
Yeah, but he has kind of got that nasty, you know, mix it up kind of mentality in a guy who gets after it. You know what I mean?
I don't know too much about Mo Evans' locker room. I just haven't seen it. You know, I do know is that, you know, Heinrich was not one of those guys. What Heinrich was is kind of like a lead by example type, and he was a little bit more understated. The concern I have is that it's not that, I mean, obviously, the big men concern is kind of like, okay, we need someone to kick those guys' butts. I'm talking about Andre Blatch and JaVale McGee.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if there's anyone that can do that. And then, for me, the biggest issue then becomes who can help John Wall be as good as he can be. And I look at Kirk Heinrich as someone who's better at that.
That's Sam Cassell's job, yeah.
That's true.
That's Sam Cassell's job, yeah.
Now, I will say this. If I take this position, I'm kind of reneging on my earlier position on the Heinrich trade, which was a little negative. And I'll take that. But the thing is more just that they got these assets, and that's nice, and that's good. I just don't know if they needed to trade Kirk Heinrich to do it. Like, I think they could have bought that pick for $3 million. You know, so, like,
right. There's
a report out there that the Grizzlies turned down two first-round picks and a second-round pick from the Bulls for O.J. Mayo. And this is a guy they've been trying to move like crazy. And it just kind of goes to show how little those late picks are valued. Because this is going to be like a 22 overall pick.
Well, let's face it. Even the top picks may be not having a whole lot of value when it's all said and done, because it's not a very good draft. And, you know, going forward, a lot of doom and gloom felt throughout the league for some people about where everything's going. But, you know, if Evans can bring, you know, that hard work and all the stuff everybody says he has, and the professionalism to the locker room, and a guy that's going to, you know, kind of expect the most of his teammates. You know, I don't think you lose as much with Heinrich. Bibby's supposed to be, you know, consummate pro, much like Heinrich. Like you said, he's not a rah-rah necessarily guy. So
I don't know about that. Bibby kind of sulked a little bit in Sacramento before he got traded. He's one of those guys that's good, I think, a good clubhouse guy on a
good
team.
But he needs to be a good guy here in order to get to that to that type of team again.
Well, he might get bought out, though.
Well, he wants to get bought out, but let's face it. If his agent's saying he's not going to get bought out, that obviously means he's probably not going to get bought out right now because he knows that he's not going to give up enough money. Ernie drives a hard bargain when it comes to buyouts.
That's true. But that might be bad, though, because then he might be a little, like, kind of lose his spirit a little bit.
Yeah, but then if you want to make this a 26-game deal, as David Falk has put out there, and then, you know, hopefully in the offseason, assuming there is an offseason, that's a whole different matter, then you've got to play ball, if you will, and be, you know, on board with it. But one thing I want to say, I want to ask you about, and I know you touched on it via Twitter this week and on some of the things you've posted, it seems like, you know, Ernie Grunfeld, who has not gotten a lot of love from the fans of late, is this week with this particular deal. People seem to be on board with it as far as the fans are concerned.
Well, because they see, and I think that smart people get this, and I think that this is the good side of this trade, is that they see him following a plan of getting younger, getting a pick, stockpiling assets. Like I said, this is a very creative use of assets. 5 months of Kirk Heinrich for 3 draft picks, essentially. And because you count Crawford, who was a first-round pick last year, too. I mean, that's kind of nice. I mean, that's a good use of assets. And I think fans like that because this is a rebuilding effort. And so from that standpoint, I think this was good. I just think they could have gotten some of those assets anyway, is all I'm saying. And I've had a lot of people disagree with me on this.
Yeah, I think it was the best move they probably could have made at this point. Sure, I think maybe your hope was you could package him with Blotch and make Blotch immovable, but that's not going to happen. And you're not going to get back in return what you want. And I think the fact that Andre was not moved says a lot. And the fact that they came out and said he wouldn't be moved before it happened says a lot about where his value or lack thereof is right now around the league. And you know, again, down the road, who knows how different the CBA is going to be coming up in the offseason and things and what will happen. But the Wizards at least have flexibility right now. They have a lot of assets. Does that guarantee any success? Of course not. But it does put them in a position where they're not tied down to contracts by any means. And they've done a good job going that direction. Now, of course, the question is will Ernie continue to do these moves? Will he continue to get the opportunity to these moves? Or will Ted be looking for somebody to fill that role here once his contract comes up?
I don't know. It's a good question. It's tough to tell. I think what I definitely think is that if Ernie is following Ted's plan pretty well. Now,
I think he also followed the plan of the previous owner, which is what got everybody ticked off.
Right. As we've said before, the problem with Grunfeld is not that he doesn't follow the plans. It's sometimes that it's so religiously following the plan that it doesn't really account for, okay, what's option B? Mm-hmm. And I think in this case, option B may have been to keep Heinrich and buy that pick. Now, a lot could change if Jordan Crawford is any good. Because that's the only piece that
he was a hard-nosed college player. I saw a lot of him at Xavier. I liked him a lot, and I was
never a fan of his. So I guess
gritty guy and played well at Indiana as well, and not only made big shots, but also could get after it defensively. He's gotten no playing time to really have any type of feeling about him as an NBA player in Atlanta that matters at this point. He was buried on the depth chart.
Yeah, that's true. The one issue I have is I'm not really sure it. This kind of feels like a take-a-flyer type of trade because I don't really know where he fits in. Like,
well, what we don't know is this. And look, did they like him going into the draft? Is this a guy that would have taken if they didn't have such a great need at the power forward and the center positions? I mean, that's what
They did like him. So that's true.
But, I mean, they say that every time.
Know what I mean? They like Heinrich, too.
Yeah, they like that. You know, you hear that often. And yeah, exactly. They like Heinrich, too, and then they flipped him around pretty quickly. So, you know what I mean. But it's one of those situations where look, all we need to do is look at Chauncey Billups, who just got dealt this week again. This guy, how many places did he have to go before he found a home?
That's the exception, though. There aren't that many Chauncey Billups types.
But my point being is that's not true. There's a lot of guys that don't make it with their first team and make it with their second team. They don't have to go as far as Chauncey Billups.
Right.
But I'm saying there's a lot of those cases in the league. It's about, what is a good fit? And sometimes for some guys, because they just grab the best guy available because that's the draft philosophy or whatever, it's a bad situation because they don't ever get an opportunity to play or get with the right coach or get with the right people around them. And, it is a big chemistry experiment, too, even though it is just 5 guys on the floor. It's still not to the extent of the NFL, but it is a chemistry experiment.
We'll see. He could be good. You're right. It's a clean slate. I'm not that high on him, but you never know. The problem is, again, so this is the same thing that was said about Javaris Crittenton and and Randy Foy.
Sure.
And all the – I just –
So you're actually due then.
Right. I mean, after a certain point, do you
the law of averages should be in your favor at this point.
But the alternative is maybe Ernie's not a great judge of these reclamation projects.
Right,
last good one was Caron Butler.
Yeah. No. I mean, I don't even know if he was a reclamation project. He was just a guy.
Right.
That was in,
I think he was just good and just
yeah,
had
he was just good.
Bad
yeah.
spots. And I think I don't know. I mean, it's too early to tell on Crawford, but I don't really like what I've seen in that.
But again, it's such a low investment. Why not take a flyer on him if you're getting rid of you know of Heinrich Steele? And I think most of us agree that whether Bibby gets bought out this year or if he gets dealt in the offseason, he's not going to be here
no.
the start of whenever next season is. You know what I'm saying?
No, it was just to make salaries work.
Yeah.
I mean, but the cost, and this is something that my colleague Sean Fagan wrote on Bulls Forever today, is that you look at what the Celtics did with the Cavaliers. They trade two rookies, one of whom is a 25-year-old big man, Semi Erdan. Mm-hmm. But they can make that trade because they have roster space. If you're kind of using these roster spots on reclamation projects, mm-hmm. you lose that ability. And, I mean, you have to decide whether the cost is right. But there is a downside. You can't – this isn't a league where you can just kind of have a lot of guys on your roster and just kind of keep stockpiling as easily. The roster space is limited. And if you have that flexibility, you have a lot of more leeway to make moves for maybe guys who are better reclamation projects.
Yeah, well, and again, the Wizards are not in the position yet where they could just save their money and go grab a free agent, if
right.
you will, because, number one, the free agent has to want to come here, and number two, they have to find the right fit, and that guy to this point has not been there. But it will be interesting to see them the rest of the way. I mean, they got to be more competitive. I mean, it's just been, you know, that's been the big issue here the last few nights. You know, the competitive nature, the lack thereof, mm-hmm. Is extremely disturbing at this late juncture in the season. I mean, that's what's really got to concern you. But
yeah, they got bigger problems. They have to worry about what they're going to do with their two front court guys. I mean, that's a bigger problem. But and I don't think this is going to really change much in that setting. I just wonder. So it's a good trade. You know, it's a worthwhile trade. I just wonder if they could have gotten the same things while keeping Heinrich around to be kind of a good pro and a good example where Flip Saunders can say, okay, Andre and JaVale, this is a guy who's getting it done and competing every night. And
sure. This
is, it's just another guy you have around as an example, you know, and he's a better player than Mo Evans. So it's easier for JaVale and Andre to say, well, that guy is actually there. His preparation is paying off.
Well, and again, Bibby, you hope, is going to be that guy, and his agent has put up, you know, the thing. And I think the bigger issue for me with all this stuff is just a reminder that the situation with David Falk, who used to be the most important agent in all basketball, is in a lot better spot than it's ever been with this organization in about the last 30 years. So,
a little too late, though.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Now he doesn't really own that many high-profile
clients. Yeah, but I think eventually, you know, if he gets back into it. He didn't have to be in it for a while, and he wasn't. Now he's getting back in it. I don't think he comes back just to, you know, take on guys like Mike Bibby. I think he's going to get to a higher-profile guy, but who knows? We'll see down the road. But bottom line is you got to play ball with these agents, whether you like the situation or not. You can't let old wars get in the way. All right, coming up, we're going to check in on spring training with the Washington Nationals. Ben Gessling from massinsports.com is going to be with us. A lot of good feelings about the Nats early on, and yes, a lot of Bryce Harper talk and Steven Strasburg rehabbing talk, and oh yeah, there is a new guy in town as well by the name of Jason Worth. We'll get to all that with Ben coming up. It is SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan.